The G-Men podcast brings you inside our community and lets you listen in on the conversations that empower men to win in life and business.
Sometimes we can't wait for people to come to us. We got to go to them. Let's go. As a man, you gotta have critical thinking in a time of crisis. Be conscious of who you are connecting. Any crisis, you got what? The brotherhood. G-Man! G-Man!
Guys, I say this as much as possible, but how are you doing is a real question. And fine is never the answer. Fine is a lie. You know what I'm saying? How are you doing is real. Like, how are you doing? You have to speak to that. Okay, so y'all thought I was bragging about running and walking 66 miles. Guys, I feel like it. I'm moving up and down these stairs like an old man because things are sore. You know what I'm saying? So if you try to do 60-something miles in 5 days, what you think? Bro, we were supposed to be watching a movie together as a family last night. I don't know what part of the movie I watched or what part of the movie watched me. Bro, I was done. Like, done. Everything, my brain, you need to sleep. And after I got like 30 minutes, I felt a little bit refreshed. And guys, when you give more, you get more. But there is a price. So let's not lie about it. So I want you to be thinking about the strategies for your enhancement. You're taking on more. What are you getting rid of? Who are you delegating to? Who are you bringing on your team? Too many times we're like, oh yeah, let's get this done. And we're like, so where the staff at? I was working through this with my wife. She has a big grant opening coming up and she's talking about all the things that she wants to happen. And I'm like, Tasha, where's your team? And she was giving me the look. So I had to kind of go on my bag a bit and say, where's your PACE plan? Primary, alternate, contingency, emergency. I want 4 plans of action for every line item. I want you to have 4 ways to solve every problem that's going to show up. Let's just say she didn't like the conversation. She tried to run out the office. I was like, nah, babe, come get this work. Why? Because I don't want to see you fail because you're failing to prepare. And as men, we have to be great at staying ready, staying prepared. That's what last week's call was on. Now this week's call is going to be on this idea. I'm going to drop a long fancy definition in the chat so you can kind of read it and orient yourself to the conversation. It's about thermodynamics. It's about thermodynamics. It says it's a branch of physics that deals with heat, work, and temperature, and their relation to energy, radiation, and physical properties of matter. I know we got scientists in the room, but we're not going super deep there. I just wanted you guys to have the overview, because without knowing it, there's a lot of things that we touch that affects how we move and who we are, but we're not truly leveraging it to produce in our lives the consistent results that we need and we're looking for. And guys, you have to understand these concepts, because without knowing it, things like we taught a few weeks back, like HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, won't work for you if you don't know how to identify it. You know how many men are taught to just push through? You're hungry, just keep going. You're angry, who cares? Just get the job done. You're feeling lonely and you're making all these big decisions. You're tired and you're wondering why you're so short with your family members. Guys, you have to have these concepts working together so you can identify who you are in the moment, make the adjustment in real time, and leverage those states. Guys, if my wife's hungry, I can beat her at anything because she's not thinking. I call it frenzy mode. Like, you ever seen Shark Week? And when they eating, that's Tasha when she's hungry, bro. Like, just stay out of her way. You know, we got kids, so God didn't give us the extra patience. When Tasha hungry, we put her food down and we run away. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not safe for other people. When I'm tired, I'm not the nicest person. I'm already not the nicest person. But when I'm tired, I only get half of the end going. I don't even get the ICE. I'm not the best person to be around. And so you have to start to understand how energy is working, how energy is affecting your work, how these concepts are changing the physical environment that you're in. And I know it sounds deep, but it's not as deep as you think it is. It's not as deep as you think it is. So real quick, go ahead, show us the shoes from the retreat. Let me acknowledge that. There they go. The VaporMax boys. Because I saw it. I saw Coach K say, nah, here's my shoes. I think I got some more in the car. And guys, that's a part of brotherhood. You take care of each other. You take care of each other. You challenge each other to grow, to level up, but you also care, take care of each other. All right, guys, here's the concept. Thermometer or thermostat? Thermometer or thermostat? We all kind of know what both of those things are. Thermometer measures the temperature in the room and just gives you a reading. Thermostat also measures the temperature in the room, but can also alter it. And a lot of times, all we're doing is taking the temperature of a room. We're not doing anything else for that room, for that space. So we leave the space the way we found it. But if we can, like a thermostat, turn on, we can do so much more in the same environments. And I'm just going to talk you guys through some concepts, and then we're going to open things up for you to share on the times where you should have been a thermostat, and you just kind of responded like a thermometer. You know, because I could tell you plenty of times in my life where I've done that. So now, here's a concept. I believe everyone has the ability to change the temperature in a room. I believe every human being has the capacity to change the temperature in a room. Now, most of us do it for the negative, because it's easy to be pissed off. It's easy to be angry, self-centered, and a relative nuisance to those people around you. It's easy to do that. And that changes the temperature in the room. But my challenge to you is, can you, like a thermostat, read the room, regulate the temperature, and then enhance the purpose of each individual in the room? Because that's what a thermostat does. If it's too hot in a room, you ain't thinking about your purpose. If it's too cold in a room, you ain't thinking about your purpose. You trying to get warm. If it's too hot, you're trying to get cool. But if you're operating like a thermostat, you get things back to where it should be so people can stay locked in and focused and live out their purpose in real time. So I'm challenging every man to function more like a thermostat than a thermometer. Now consider this. When you define your manhood, are you only reading a room? Because many of us have mastered that. We know how to read a room. We know rooms we don't belong in. But I want you to go deeper. I want you to always think like this. If I walk in a room like a thermostat, I can not only read the temperature of the room, but I can regulate that temperature. I can enhance the opportunities in the room. I can shift the mindsets of the people in the room. Why? Because I'm there. Because I'm there. But that requires you to function as exactly who you are. See, I've been doing some coaching, and a lot of times I'm hearing fathers, husbands, business leaders, all men who are saying things like, man, yeah, Bernard, but what about me? You know, like many men, you know, we're like, man, what about me? It's like, I have to do so much for my wife, so much for my family, so much for my kids, so much at my company, but what about me? Here's the key. If you're consistently saying that, what about me? As a man, you're in the wrong stage of manhood. You're the wrong stage. Because as a man, it's always about you. That's your wife. Them your kids. That's your company. So isn't it about you? Because you were required for all of that to happen. Like I proposed to talk. That's how we married. I choose to stay in the marriage and honor that relationship. So it's still about me. So if you're still stuck and without knowing it, responding, what about me? When do I get my time? What part of this is for me? You're at the wrong stage of manhood. Now I'm going to drop remind me to drop the link for Coach Kendall talking about the five stages of manhood, because I think he did it well, where he just breaks down the different stages of manhood. But if you remember, or if you're new to the concept, stage five is you are love and attention. So if you're in the right stage of manhood, giving people your love and giving people your attention is easy. But if you're at the wrong stage of manhood, that's a struggle. You like, my son want more of my time? Yeah, he's your son. What you expect him to do? My daughter want more of my time? Of course. My wife want more of me? Yes. The company require me to give more than 18 hours some days? Absolutely. But if you're at the wrong stage of manhood, that becomes an issue. It blocks you from expressing yourself exactly the way that you should. And without knowing it, instead of showing up as a thermostat, walking in a room, reading the room, regulating the room, and challenging everyone in the room to get back to a state of purpose, you just walk in a room, you read the room, and if it's hot, you're Captain Obvious. Man, it's hot in here. If it's cold, you're Captain Obvious. Man, it's so cold in here. Versus you're regulating the temperature, allowing people to fulfill their purpose on your watch. Now think about this. If as a man, you're saying things like, because I, Tasha, tell you, I've never said this in our relationship. I'll die for you. No, it's not going to happen. Not never. In the military, I used to have one. Look, I was in the military. We used to go on some dangerous missions. I used to tell them one thing. I'm going home. I don't know about none of y'all. I'm going home. At the end of all this, I'm going home. Because without knowing it, dying is super easy, isn't it? Think about all the ways people die. It's super easy. My brother was sharing that an NHL player just got injured messing around with fireworks. Come on, man. It's easy to die. But who are you living for? That's more important. Because if you're a thermostat, you need to stay alive as long as possible to build and leave a legacy, to create the environments that help everybody who is following your lead to thrive. Let me just put it in layman's terms. If I die and I ain't going walking every morning, Tasha ain't ever going walking. That's real. So she don't need me to die for her. She need me to learn to live my best life so she can benefit from the overflow. Because a broken thermostat functions like a thermometer. So we need to be fixed. We need to be functioning in our best self. That means if you got to get up early to give yourself an hour every day, 2 hours of alone time every single day, do it. Because that helps you function best. And now everyone in your life will benefit from the overflow. But without knowing it, a lot of us are just reading the temperature. We're no different than the people we're called to lead and love. We're functioning just like them. You tired, the kid's tired. And so you drive in the car on a long trip home, and the kid's tired and irritated, and you tired and irritated, so you snapping on them for being what? Kids. They kids. You snapping on your wife like she changed. Bruh, she your wife. She been doing this. It's just that you didn't take care of yourself, so you're in an unhealthy state. So instead of regulating the room, you're just reading the temperature. It's hot and now you hot. You know what I'm saying? It's cold and now you cold. Versus saying, I'm gonna make sure every day I take care of myself so phenomenally that the people who need me, life, business, family, they get the best of me, not the rest of me. And guys, we have to learn to do that. Men, think about this. Thermostats have a very base function. Whether it's a fancy Google boy, like it can do all the fancy stuff, or it's just a simple old school one that's in grandma's house, they have a base function. Their job is to read the temperature and regulate the temperature. That's the base function of a thermostat. Here's a hat trick. Manhood has a base function. A base function. And a lot of y'all, when I said that, you're thinking about, well, I need to provide and protect. That's not manhood's base function. And that's where people start branding what we do in manhood as toxic masculinity, because you don't understand the base function of manhood. The base function of manhood is to build. To build. Whether you're building your family, you're building your legacy, you're building a better you, you're building wealth. Your base function of manhood is to build. If you're not functioning in your base function of manhood, that's what's throwing you off. You should have a clear idea of what you're building daily. Guys, it's allowed to change. You don't got to be working on the same thing for the rest of your life. In one season, maybe you're building your reputation. Maybe you're going after degrees. You're adding some levels to your status so you can attract a different level of living. Maybe that's what you're building in one season. Maybe you're building your family in one season. Maybe you're building your credit, your wealth. Maybe you're building on your health. But the base function of manhood is to build. And one of the side effects of building consistently is work. But so many men think the base function of manhood is to work. So you're working, but you're not building nothing. And you being treated as such. Because slaves worked all the time and they didn't build something that they got to keep. And you're not a slave. You're not a slave. So you have to get back to your base function of manhood, which is to build. You should always be building. Always be building. Building relationships. Building your mind. Working on you. Building your health. Working on your relationships. Building. And yes, there are side effects of building. Planning, preparing, you know, training. There's side effects of that. But if you don't understand that your base function is to build, you'll betray a lot of what you get to do because you're caught up in working and activity. So you got to get back to your base, which is to build. Now think about this. When you're building and consistently engaged in building, you're facing your fears, you're owning your traumas, you're admitting that you need help, you're admitting that you need guidance, and you're admitting that you need your brothers. But see, when you're not building, there's a lot of things you don't face. There's a lot of things you don't confront. There's a lot of things you let slide because you're not activated in your more core function, which is to build. Now, a concept I've been wrestling with because I see so many people doing this when I coach. They want to build, but how can you build and how can you function when you let people and environments in your life by choice? You're letting people and environments into your life who destroy, who tear down, and who hinder progress. If your core function is to build, why do you have destructive environments that you frequently go to? Why do you have destructive people in your circle of influence? That doesn't make sense to someone who's building something. When my wife is in a destructive state, she gets seconds of my time. Seconds. I don't love nobody that much to let them destroy. Bruh, I remember years ago, they used to say, it takes 7 positive things to erase the negative thing. So someone says something negative to you, it's going to take 7. I don't even know 7 people who will daily tell me something nice. Is it just me? Bro, I ain't got 7 people who just say, Bernard, you know what? You're handsome, Bernard. You're going to make all the money you need. I don't have 7 people who do that. So I can't have 1 negative person on deck. And while my wife has full opportunity to be who she is, a few calls ago, I was reminding you guys, you have to guard your heart. So there's times where I'm like, I can hear the tone. I'm like, Tosh, time out. Time out. Whatever you're about to say, don't say it. Text it to me and I can read it. You know what I'm saying? Because when she has to write it out, it helps her filter. Because if she had just said it, though, you know what I'm saying? Faith comes by hearing, but negative faith as well. So I don't need to hear all that. Because like I said, I don't have 7 people just on standby to be like, Bernard, you can do it. Bernard, you're great. I'm watching, quote, a great athlete, Ben Simmons, go through it because from Twitter to TV, they letting him have the business. And I'm like, bro, how is he forgetting that they paying him millions of dollars to play basketball, to play a game for a living? How he care about people who have never done that? Because he's not guarding his heart. He's letting things into his ears that's affecting who he is on the inside. Right? He's a professional athlete. 99% of the planet can't talk about that level of achievement. But he is still open to 99% of the planet talking about him. And that's like many of us. Instead of being a thermostat, he's responding like a thermometer. Somebody say something and his temperature going up and down, up and down, up and down. And he's forgetting to build. He's forgetting his core function. He's being taken out his own game. So guys, we have to function like a thermostat. We have to be able to adjust the temperature of every room we find ourselves in, bar none. Because if you're not taking care of you, if you're not dialed in, guys, you're getting beat. And you have been there. You have been there. Guys, as we prepare to open a call up for just feedback, to challenge the information, and to just exchange ideas, I want you to think about this. Checking your temperature and making the investment daily and yearly to function as a thermostat is a daily decision. You don't have to make that decision. But to those who make that decision daily, this reigns true in a different way. Guys, it costs what it costs. Now, let's focus on what the it is. It costs what it costs. What is the it? Success. What is the it? Healthy environments cost what they cost. A body you can celebrate. Bro, that costs what it costs. Quality relationships. Both me and my wife were able to work from home today. Between 3 and 3:45, we just sat in the family room and we talked. Guys, a healthy relationship costs. I have a wife when every time she took a break, she at the office door because we worked on a quality relationship. So she wants to be around me. And I wanted to be around her today. You know what I'm saying? Because guys, I ain't just saying she's my wife so she has full access. A lot of us believe that lie. You're like, these are my kids, so they have full access. Right? Anybody can hurt you and anybody can harm you. So you have to learn to be a thermostat. You can see them in a crisis and don't address them from a crisis. What are you going through? I'm here for you, but what are you going through? But what we're not going to do is make your emergency, your lack of preparedness, create a sense of urgency and an emergency in my life. Because here's the truth. I don't know if y'all have ever had to call 911 because somebody was dying. You don't do none of the work. I don't know if y'all have ever experienced that. Like, they show up and they do all the work. Matter of fact, they move you out the way. They say, excuse me, sir. You are the untrained element in this environment. Let the professionals take over. So why are we always trying to pretend that we're the professionals? I remember when my wife's grandmama was dying. Bro, I love that woman. I love that woman. But I had to tell her, I am not your therapist. You need a therapist. Natasha was freaking out. When her mom died, her grandmother was the principal woman in her life. So that love and that bond was tight. But guys, I wasn't the professional. And I wasn't so egotistical that I acted like what I wasn't. I identified that I need to call 911 for my wife. Bro, you need professional help. You sounding a bit crazy right now. And I didn't marry crazy. And I did say till death do us part. So how do we get you professional help so I can be a man of my word? And after her first therapy session, I was like, bro, we should have been did this. Tasha came home, wanted to cook, wanted to put it on me. I was like, nah, baby step. You know what I'm saying? Baby steps. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to be spoiled. Just one thing at a time. We ain't got to rush the whole calendar. Let's schedule this stuff out. Guys, it does cost what it costs. And as G-Man, what I want to challenge you to consistently do is pay the price. Pay this season's price. The next season, pay next season's price. The season after that, pay that price. Nothing will happen without you personally making an investment to grow and to consider where you're being a thermometer and quite ineffective versus being a thermostat and truly shifting the culture and situation and flow of every room you find yourself in. All right, guys, we're going to open the call up. If you have questions, I'd love to hear your questions. If you have feedback, love to hear that. If you have challenges to the information, guys, we have to learn to challenge information. If not, you're going to have people like President Trump saying whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you just go take it off the strength that he the president. Or people going to tell you, go take this shiny needle and get this vaccination, and you ain't going to challenge nothing. You just going to be in the line, sleeve rolled up like a heroin addict. You have to learn to challenge information. That's a part of manhood. So calls open, calls open.
Y'all can hear me?
Loud and clear.
Awesome. I just thought of, I've been in quite a few situations where, say, for instance, you know, with my parents, and there are things that I'm aware of, you know, I was reading the temperature and, you know, might have suggestions or might have, I guess, a little bit of insight as to how to potentially shift that, but they aren't ready for the temperature to be changed. And so I guess the question is, how do I navigate that? Or how do I know when I should push on it or when I should let it go and just let them be cold, be hot?
That's solid. That's solid. So as is my custom, you know, I always teach the stories. I think one of the greatest leaders that ever lived taught with stories. And I think stories are effective. So I was at a conference, and I remember saying on the stage, one of the things you can do to really piss me off is invite me to church. Like, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Don't invite me to church. Churches don't pay money last time I checked. Last time I checked, every time I go, I have to pay them. And they don't ask me for feedback or a survey. They just ask for money. Most people will say, how did I serve you? Before they ask me for a check, and churches don't do that. So I'm like, you stay over there, I'm gonna stay over there. And recently, my mama started going to church. She moved to the Seattle area, she started going to church. And my mama know better than to ask me to go to church. So she told the pastor and they people to invite me to church. So I was big mad this morning. Like big mad, like in my bag, just ready. Ready to do some yelling, ready to do some cursing out. But one of my brothers, he lives this phenomenal practice where every conversation with any family member starts with, I love you. So if he's talking to you, he would say, Anthony, I love you. But when you did this, this is how I felt. And what happens when you start sentences with the people in your life that you love with, I love you, it helps orient your mind to who they are and what their purpose is in your life currently. So my mom didn't mean anything truly malicious by inviting me to church. You know what I'm saying? So I had to pray. I had to settle down. And I could feel the Creator on the inside of me saying, don't blast your mama. I know you want to. That's your nature. But don't do that. Love her. That's her way of saying, Bernard, I love you in this season. Now, you don't need it. But some people needed a mama who would reach out to them and invite them to church. You just happened to not be one of them. So just go ahead and practice forgiveness. Go ahead and keep an open mind with borders and boundaries, but understand she's doing the best she knows how to do, because in her generation and how they came up, when somebody invited you to church, it was truly a life raft. It was truly a place of bringing unity. Now, in our reality, we know about them Catholic priests. So you know what I'm saying? We know, bruh, don't invite me to nobody's church. Things have changed. But instead of being a thermometer and just going off the rail, hot or cold, I had to humble myself, do some deep work, pray, and ask myself, how can I love? How can I be a thermostat in this moment, in this conversation? And that allows me to continue to connect in a relational way versus just, here's my opinion. Because here's something most people don't know. Unless you're in talk radio, unless you're Howard Stone, opinions don't make money. You know? I mean, if you are in talk radio, you got a next level podcast, cool. Give your opinion, you can make a lot of money. But unless you're there, opinions don't really make money. Great question. Anybody else? Challenge the information. Give me some feedback.
I guess I'll go, sir. Nobody else has anything to say. First of all, I appreciate the information. I can give a specific time in which this is useful information or would have been useful information. Actually, this happened today. I was talking with my wife, and I'll say that in my job field, it's pretty competitive. So having full disclosure, having been out of work for about 7 months or so, 2 years ago by now, actually. And for me, instead of backing down, my initial reaction is always to say, okay, I was out of work. I wasn't able to compete at that point in time. So what can I do not to put myself back in that place? So now I have the mentality of, all right, I'm just going to grind. What information do I need to know to make sure I'm above the next man? Now, having a family, and just as you mentioned before about, you know, I have a family now, so I have a wife, I have a child, so I have to also be the man and be involved in my, you know, in my family's life. So it's hard for me sometimes to back away and say, hey, I will grind all day, work 99 hours if it means that I'm going to be above and more competitive than anybody else in this field. But, you know, in saying that, a lot of times when it comes to myself, I do a lot of the cooking. So at the same time, monitoring my energy, sometimes I'll get upset and say, you know what, I'm having to work to not only make sure I'm cooking, but also at the same time, make sure that I continue to study and make sure I'm knowledgeable. So in monitoring temperature, it's useful for me when you're saying that to say, okay, let me not get upset. Let me make sure I monitor myself, not even someone else, but monitor myself to say, what am I really upset about? Am I going to change the mood because I have something personal going on? Or am I just going to say, listen, let me talk about this, talk this out, and not get upset, if that makes sense. So I think monitoring your temperature is also for yourself as well as other people. So, you know, that's just my story. I don't know if anybody else has something similar, but that's my story.
That's spot on, Mr. Malik. That's spot on. And here's some context. I was in the gym, and I was watching some tennis highlights from the past 5 days, and, you know, people were slipping left and right, left, like every tennis player who played slipped. Here are people at the top of their game who trained all year for these big matches and moments, and they can't stand up. They fall in, they slip in. And I remember watching Serena get up, look at the bottom of her shoes, like her shoes had betrayed her. Like she wasn't signed with the number one shoe company on the planet. But you could be doing absolutely everything right and still lose your footing if you're unprepared for this very moment. Because I was like, soccer players, they gotta run on grass, slippery grass, and they seem to do fine. Football players, they do a lot of fancy cuts and jukes, and they seem to be doing all right. So y'all tennis players just didn't think to, you know, get a little spiky Tiger Woods boys? You know what I'm saying? Because golfers, sometimes, depending on the terrain, they gotta put the spikes on. And I said to myself, not one of these tennis players thought, like, bro, I just saw four people fall. like four people in a row, but either side of the net, fall. And I ain't said, hey, I'm going to need my spikes. Bring my golf shoes. And that's one of the problems, because when we respond without reading our temperature, we don't ask ourselves, what can we do in the moment? We keep wanting everybody else to fix everything for us versus making the adjustment we know to make. So I was walking, and I was telling my wife this. She was talking about, you know, like when you're about to cross an intersection and there's a car, how that creates an awkward moment, especially if you're just trying to keep your pace. I'm like, it doesn't keep an awkward moment for me because that person in the car ain't got nothing to do with me. Like I make this super loop. I don't even make eye contact. I don't care who driving. I don't care where they're going. Like I'm out there for me and they out there for them. They got to do what they got to do to get back to their family. I got to do what I got to do to get back to mine. So that regardless of what's going on, I just and keep going. Mission focus locked into who I must be. And I think if you don't look at yourself as a thermostat, you're not thinking about the adjustment you can make. Bro, I saw them bring the referees out, the umpires out to check the grass. Bro, you still got to play on the grass. Like, what you expect them to do, vacuum the water out the grass court? Bro, make the adjustment. Wouldn't you rather win and have a fine for tearing up the court because you got spikes on? Bro, some of Serena, they said she had it almost a career-ending type of injury because, bro, slipping like that, you can tear some things. Tennis is a back-and-forth pivot, stop-and-go activity. So, guys, we have to, in real time, make every adjustment that allows us to get back to winning despite how it makes anybody feel. And because we are so dialed in to how people feel, reading the temperature, moving like a thermometer. We don't say, how do we win? If your family eating at five, everybody eating at five is the win, guess what? Put your iPad down, stop what you're doing, wife, daughter, we gonna eat right now. Five is when we eat. Why? Because that's when we can do this together thing. If putting the kids in bed by eight is how you and your wife get the grown up time, hey, love y'all, wrap it up, you're going to bed. But then, this was not a discussion. I don't know why you thought this was a discussion. Go to bed. I ain't say sleep, but you will be in that bed. It's eight. Don't talk to me till tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Don't talk to me till tomorrow. Like, you have to adjust the room. You have to make every legal, clear adjustment you can see to make. Because you can't blame the environment or the circumstances for you not getting done what you must get done so you are your best self. And that's why so many of us have I fell off language. Because we knew what we must, we knew exactly what we should have adjusted to stay on. And because the temperature of the room said people would be mad, we didn't make the adjustment. And guess what, guys? I know you heard me say this before. Is somebody gonna be mad in the room? It's probably not gonna be me. Not because what you gonna do. Brian about to call nobody over to check the grass is wet. Bro, I saw four people slip, top athletes in the world. Bro, why you got golf shoes on? It's a tennis court. Because I'm about to fall, bro. I'm worth too much money. I win this little cup, this little shiny gray cup. You know how much more endorsement money that is? Oh, yeah, we're gonna have to go figure this out. But the court, you got all the rest of the year to fix the court. You know, so I got to win today. And I think so many times we're so afraid to offend people. And that's the one thing I would say about President Trump. I think he was a blessing in showcasing that it don't matter how offensive you are. So many of us are so bro, they let Bill Cosby out of jail no matter how nobody feel about it. And a lot of y'all got daughters and they don't care what they didn't call y'all to check. We letting Bill Cosby out of jail. Do you feel safe? Do you feel that your little girl is safe? They ask nobody. They say, he got money and he paid us. F you, click, he free. Whether you like it or not. So many of us are living in prison or incarcerated in smaller processes and environments because we're scared to offend somebody. We're afraid to make real-time adjustments. But if you're a thermostat, when you have to shift the direction of the temperature, everybody in the room is going to be affected, whether they like it or not. And if they really can't stand it, anybody else? Questions, comments, challenges to the information?
You said to remind you, I think earlier in the call about the stage five video. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that reminder. Let me pull that up and drop it in the chat. While I'm doing that, Kanata, I'd love to hear from you on why you attended your first G-Man retreat and why should men attend the one coming up?
The first one, man, let me think back to the first one.
Geez, that was good. That was a good one. I attended my first one because I just wanted that next level attention, next level focus. You know, saying you want to be a stage five man and then actually taking the action to do that. I knew coming to it would help me along with that and continue and keep me responsible and, you know, reliable for doing that. So that was why I wanted to do it, you know, just wanting more and more growth. You know, one of the things I tell people now when it comes to dating and dating women, and it's like, you know, what do you look for first? And I always tell them awareness. Awareness is number one. And then the second one is open-mindedness. Open-mindedness because that means you're open to growth. You're open to your own growth. You're open to some your partner's growth as well. So for me to be able to truly live that and expect that from someone else, I know I had to keep on pushing for it myself.
There it is. There it is. Guys, I don't say this abashed. What we do here in the G, nobody else is doing. Like, I literally have seen it change my life. Bro, y'all knew. I still don't like kids, but bro, I see kids every week. Hang out with them, love them, lead them, let them lead me. Because sometimes they just know more than you. And that's because y'all help challenge me to grow. It's real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's real. Like, I'm around daddies, people who love their kids, lead their kids, and show me that all kids not just gonna light the fireworks, light your grass on fire, and then run away. You know what I'm saying? Some kids will knock at your door and say, you might as well use your hose, like, for what? To put your grass out? What you mean to put my grass out? But hey, you know, it might seem like a small thing, but guys, it requires growth. It requires community. I was talking to one of my brothers in Virginia. We're talking about Michael Jordan, talking about Kobe Bryant, LeBron, talking about an interview where Michael Jordan was saying, you know, depending on what you're choosing them for, I would choose Kobe in these areas. I choose LeBron in these areas. And my brother said something that was profound that many of us miss. He asked me he said he watched something that was talking about who needed who more. Did Phil Jackson need Michael Jordan more, or did Michael Jordan need Phil Jackson? And he makes a very profound comment. He said, Bernard, it's always about community. So many of us want to be either the championship coach or the championship athlete, and we don't think about the community that fosters that. They assume that somehow, bro, I watch, like I said, top tennis players in the world. Oh, bro, everybody slipped. And not one coach said, oh, yeah, get him my golf shoes from my bag because it got spikes on the bottom. Bro, you need people who see things you wouldn't. You need people who would say, hey, Floyd, I need you fighting people you can demolish so you can get a 50-0 record, because the people you're going to be fighting next is YouTubers, and you can get paid more to fight YouTubers than you'll ever get paid to fight Pacquiao. So just keep the record pristine. I remember when people was talking cash money crap because they said he was ducking fighters. And see, he was building something that other people couldn't appreciate it, because we keep calling the greatest of all time the guy with the shakes. Bro, I got him on my wall. I value who Muhammad Ali was, but he still was the guy who retired with the shakes. And Floyd just, you know what I'm saying? Floyd's still showing us what money Mayweather really stand for when he pull up in the new whatever they make. Because he didn't forget that he was building something despite what we were saying. And guys, if you ever forget that you have something to build, they're going to have you in the field building somebody else's legacy and dream. And don't give me that noise that you can't work a job and build your own legacy and dream. Of course you can. People work jobs and have phenomenal families every day of the week. But the thing is, if you function in like a thermometer, you're distracted by the changes in temperature. But if you know you're the thermostat, you like, ooh, it's hot and I'm about to cool it all down. You're like, oh, it's cold and I'm about to heat it all up because I'm me. And that's the energy we want you moving with, because you do this heart work and you stay consistent with your own personal development. All right, guys, anything else before we close? And does anybody need anything besides my money? You know what I'm saying? Tasha, not going to appreciate that.
You reminded me of something, B, when you said that, and it's about Money Mayweather and him being called Money Mayweather. I was watching some interview where he was just like, you guys remember when you used to call me Pretty Boy Floyd? He's like, I consciously made that decision to change my name to Money Mayweather. And just him saying that, it was just like another light bulb. You know what I mean? How people look at you and how you look at yourself really matters. But I just mean, you just reminded me of that when you brought up that point.
Yeah. One of the things I'm working with one coaching client specifically on is what he calls himself. Because that's one of the fastest ways to execute change. If you call yourself an athlete, you start performing like one. You call yourself a money manager, you start performing like one. But most of the times, if we tell the full God's honest, we're calling ourselves, even subconsciously, things that lower the bar. Bro, I don't even speak in words that lower the bar. When I'm challenging somebody, I say, was that what greatness does? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, so we should be doing what greatness does then. Is that how greatness talks? Like, no. Okay, so we should be talking like great. Bro, I don't even use other words. Why? I don't even want to think other words. Is that what a billionaire would do when temporarily over-leveraged? You know what I'm saying? No. So why are you doing it? Would a billionaire be at the cash loan place? No. So you shouldn't be at the cash loan place. And without knowing it, guys, a lot of the languages is off. And we so much buy into what others call us. Like, we don't have the right to stop everybody. Right? One of my most, and it was pure arrogance, because he had pissed me off. One of my most arrogant traffic stops, I was like, it's Mr. Bergen, or don't talk to me. You call my lawyer. Bro, you can put me in jail. You can do anything you want, but don't talk to me unless you call me Mr. Bergen. I will not respond to you. And bro, he called me Mr. Bergen. He said, he officer so-and-so. I'm Mr. Bergen. I'm not Bernard. I don't know you. And guys, here's the truth. When you tell the world who you are, what's their option? You get to introduce yourself. You show up and you say, hey, just call me the big boss. Bro, we got no choice. That's what we go call you. But you listen to most men talk, when they get their compliments, when they're receiving their flowers, they start saying things like, nah, not yet. That's not me. Who you are and who you're becoming is the same person. It just requires time. That's it. You want to turn 50 and you're 40? It's 10 years. That's all it's going to cost you. 10 years. 10 years of living. And you have to learn to consciously cheer for yourself in those moments where no other voice is championing your best life. Because the more you do it for yourself, you give other people permission to do it as well. People are waiting to follow your leadership. People are waiting to level up because you are reminding them that leveling up is possible. But if you keep cheating yourself by how you're treating yourself, you'll keep responding to the world like a thermometer instead of regulating everything like a thermostat. All right, guys, we are at the top of the hour. That is my time. Let me see what Guardy dropped in the chat. Is it me, or does it seem like Bernard talking to everyone like it's one-on-one? It's you. No, it's what I do. It's what I do. I got to remind you all that y'all are greatness. I got to remind you all of that. Like, y'all are changing the world. I got nephews coming up. They need men to follow, bro. I can't have them out here following Lil Yachty. Nothing against them. You know what I'm saying? Nothing against them. I just don't need him doing a year in jail before he live his best life. We don't all need to go on that path. I ain't judging. Some people got to come up that way. I'm a fan of the Migos in this season. I don't need them getting Quavo'd or Offset. You know what I'm saying? I need them seeing men who have relationships with a little bit of decency and integrity. You know what I'm saying? I ain't judging nobody. Some people like the drama. Some people, you know, some people need something to put in their music. I want my nieces and nephews to go to the opera to listen to music. You know what I'm saying? They don't need to go through the heartbreaks and 808s, as they say. So I just want to point them to stage five leaders, stage five men. So if I can help encourage you and push you to live that, that's what this is about. Guys, we do have the morning call. If you can get rest and get up, it's 5 a.m. EST, 2 a.m. if you're on the West Coast. That's a brave thing to do. But, you know, if you need me, reach out. Guys, we have the network. Use the network. Leverage the network. The network has a phenomenal messaging system. If you need to reach out to anybody, whether you have their number or not, you can hop in the Mighty Networks, send them a message. They'll get it. Now, they might not check it right away because, you know, people have different schedules, etc. But that's the way we stay connected. That's the way we grow. If you have a question, if you have a need, reach out. What we don't want to hear is that I just didn't feel like I could say it. Bruh, say it. You need help, ask. You need accountability, let us know. Rossi and Coach Kendall, change the schedule, fly in to talk a brother down from the struggles. You know, we go through things, guys. We're human. And that's why we're here. We're here to lock arms and move forward. So if you need me, reach out, leverage the network, and guys, have a phenomenal evening. Wealth, health, and success. Take care, guys.
You have been listening to the G-Men podcast. Like, review, and share this episode if something you heard challenged you to grow and positioned you to lead. The G-Men community exists to allow men to connect through group coaching, training calls, online workshops, and location-based retreats. Join the movement at gmenworldwide.com.